The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Back on GetUp, and these two matchups start another stellar college basketball Saturday. Six games on ESPN in the app tomorrow. North Carolina, Florida State starts it all at noon Eastern, then to the SEC for Kentucky and Auburn. Tigers have won two of the last three in that matchup. Should be a great day. Meanwhile, we have had a great week.
I want you to pay close attention because the train is coming down the track, boys.
Let's start with Adam Schefter, because Schefter, I feel like every time we've brought this up in recent weeks, sorry you got me with that.
I demand that the producers never do this split screen with me and Woody again.
Sean Payton got slimed.
Bam!
That's awesome.
When being slimed, I think you want to lose the shoes.
One of your daughters is doing your makeup. She got your face beat, and it make me look shiny and greasy.
Who do you like tonight, Alabama, Ohio State?
I'm wearing my Alabama tie for my daughter, Savannah.
You're not supposed to show bias, man.
Oh, I did my own makeup.
You need a YouTube channel.
We're going to have to lay off of the Russell Wilson is like Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes talk.
Oh, my word.
It started out, and, you know, he was Benihana. By the end of the season, he was more ramen noodle.
Jeffrey Lurie is high to lay all this at the feet of Doug Peterson.
Do you use a brush or a sponge?
It's a sponge. You got to use anti-shine cream, bro.
There's no question. D. Wood is sponge-worthy. That's a very dated reference. We've had a lot of fun. A lot of fun here this week, and we are delighted for however much of it you've been along for the ride, and we will continue for another huge hour here on this Football Friday, live as always from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase as we look ahead to what we hope will be an outstanding weekend. We're getting up with a battle for the ages. 85 years worth of legends on the field. Which one of them goes on to the NFC Championship? Meanwhile, a forgotten superstar is calling for another huge Browns upset this weekend. Wait till you hear who it is. And the two worst teams in the NFL have chosen their new leaders. Did they both get it right? You've got questions. We've got the answers as we get up with you, starting right now with what we hope is a fabulous divisional weekend ahead. Starts with the Rams and the Packers. Fifth matchup all time between the number one scoring offense and the number one scoring defense. The fifth in the last 20 years anyway, and the defense won three of the previous four. Meanwhile, Ravens, Bills, that features Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, who are both 6-0 since week 13. Jackson leads all quarterbacks in QBR over that time. Allen leads all quarterbacks in passing yards, so it's good against good. A win for Kansas City Sunday would mean they host the conference championship for a third straight season. Cleveland, meanwhile, looking to make its first such appearance since 1989. And then you got Tom Brady and Drew Brees squaring off in the playoffs for the first time ever. It is actually the first ever postseason matchup between 40-year-old starting quarterbacks. Today, in fact, is Brees' birthday. He's 42 today. Brady is 43. And as they match up, they bring with them a combined 1,152 career passing touchdowns. According to Elias, that is the most combined passing TDs in a playoff meeting in NFL history. As you can see, it is the most by a fairly wide margin. So let's come back here to this game. And you know, Bart, you were making an interesting point, I thought, earlier. The last time these two teams played, Tampa only scored 3 points. But you have seen a personnel grouping, an adjustment they've made that you think will work. Tell everybody what that is.
Well, actually, we call it, depending on what system you're in, we call it Tiger personnel with Bray and Gronk on. What happens, that limits your blitz packages and your ability to really get to the passer, because basically you have 7 in protection, possibly maybe 8. And they don't have to worry about going and releasing 3, 4, 5 receivers into the route. They have good enough receivers that if you give them enough time and Tom can burp the baby a little bit, you can make plays down the field. And I think that's what they really settled on, the fact that, you know, Tom Brady leads the NFL in touchdowns, or he's second in the NFL in touchdowns to tight ends. Those are mismatch problems, because Gronk is like having another tight, like having another tackle out there. The fact that he can stay in and then be that help and make himself available for Brady if he gets in trouble. So if they run the ball, if they keep the two tight ends out there, it allows those other receivers to work. So I think they settled on that. No risky, no biscuit. Forget all that. Make sure that you're making sure that you protect your biscuits, because Debo can come and take them from you.
Right. I like it. And again, it worked last week against what is a very good defensive line in Washington and a good pass rush. But I'm sure a lot of people will hear that. Keep the two tight ends on the field. And RC, that will lead people to ask the question, does that mean they can't be explosive offensively? Can they still make big plays with the two tight ends on the field, Ryan Clark? I had a feeling that we had lost RC there. He froze, and now he doesn't hear me. So let me ask the same question to you, Rob Ninkovich, while we fix the audio for RC. Does that mean that Brady cannot make big plays if he's got that personnel grouping on the field to keep him safe?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, you have to keep him safe. If you don't use those tight ends in protection and have them chip out to the flat, I mean, look at what Tom Brady has done in the past. He likes to use those guys that are chipping to help, and then they get out into the flat. So if that's a running back, if it's a tight end, they're going to help in the pass rush to give him some time, and then they're going to chip out and go to the flat. So with that, he still has his receivers running all the routes and all the route trees that he likes them to run. So for me, I personally think that having the tight ends on the field, granted they take off one of the skilled receivers, having the tight ends on the field actually helped Tom to where he can look down the field, evaluate the defense, make his best choice, and if it's not there, he's just going to check the ball down.
It's interesting. I'm sure a lot of people looked at Gronk not having a catch last week and thought he didn't play a very important role, but I think what we're teaching here is that that was a significant piece of it and might be again. So, RC, then let me come to you as I'm told that you're back with me here now. We talk about teams trying to beat another team for a third straight time. The Saints dominated both meetings. One of them was week one, and then the other one was 38-3. You were in a good division where you played against those Ravens a bunch of times. Talk about that third meeting between these two teams.
Oh, it's extremely difficult. I mean, because if you're in one of the locker room that has won two games that season, you're preaching, we have to do the same thing. We have to keep our foot on the gas pedal. But if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the team that lost two games, you're looking and dissecting those films and you're changing your game in preparation of being prepared to play this team again. And when you look at some of the adjustments that Bart and Nico are saying that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have made, they made those adjustments for the New Orleans Saints. In the two games that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers played this team, they were dominated up front by the Saints D-line. The secondary played extremely well because of the Marshawn Lattimore-Mike Evans matchup. Now you have Antonio Brown. Now we're keeping tight ends in the block. We're bringing in extra linemen. This team has been put together throughout the season and continued to grow for this moment. And Tom Brady is telling this team, it doesn't matter what happened in the regular season. If we go out and win now, this is what counts. And I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come into this game confident. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers come into this game feeling that they are a different team. But make no mistake about it. If the Saints jump out on their head, if Tom Brady is on his backside, if interceptions are being thrown, the other two games will start to creep in. And when you hear a little noise playing in the Saints Stadium, when you hear the Superdome rocking through the speakers, that'll be what they do not want. So they have to start early, they have to protect Tom, and they have to create some big plays offensively so they can get comfortable and let that confidence continue to grow.
And then quickly on the other side, because Bart, we've barely even touched on the New Orleans offense side of this. They've been somewhat up and down this year. They've been led for the most part by their defense. We've seen Alvin Kamara obviously have the monster game a few weeks ago. What do you expect from that matchup when New Orleans has the ball against this Buccaneers D?
Well, I expect them to be confident because they feel like they have Todd Bowles dialed in. And Todd Bowles is going to have to switch some things up too. You can't be blitzing everybody, putting guys on islands. He doesn't have the lockdown corners. He doesn't have a Lattimore on that side of the ball. What he does have is a tremendous defensive line. And that's what he's going to have to play to and say, hey, I want to keep everybody in front of me. I'm going to be physical at the line of scrimmage and throw the timing off. Because Drew Brees wants to get the ball out of his hand fast as well. But if you throw the timing off, Michael Thomas ain't running past nobody. And Emmanuel Sanders' best days are behind him. So you want to challenge those guys and not put your guys on the island and create opportunities for Drew Brees to put one up when he recognizes cover one.
I'll say it again. The combined ages of the two starting quarterbacks in this game is 85 years old. Brady is 43. Brees turns 42 today. They are obviously legends and first ballot Hall of Famers, and one of them will see his season end on Sunday night. All right, let's go on the clock and look at the other games this weekend. RC, who's the most important player on the field? Rams, Packers. 30 seconds, go.
It's the replacement, Greeny. David Bakhtiari's replacement. His name is Billy Turner, but I don't want to call him by his name. What will you do? David Bakhtiari only averaged 2 pressures per game. Against the Chicago Bears, Billy Turner, 8 pressures and a sack. And now you're going up against the number one defense in the NFL, a team that consistently puts pressure on your quarterback. And even Aaron Rodgers, when under pressure, is not Michael Jordan. He's not. He's whatever dude took. No, you don't even know the dude that took Michael Jordan's place. So it's imperative that you protect him.
That's right. Good point. The next game is Ravens-Bills. Rob Ninkovich. It's not even a player for you. Who's the most important person in this game?
Yeah, look, it's not even a guy playing in this game. He's calling the plays, and that's Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. Look, when you get in the playoffs, you can't get too cute. You just got to go out there, stay aggressive. Let's try not reinvent the wheel here. So Daboll has been in big games. He coached in a national championship for Alabama. So I feel like what they have to do is go out there, continue to do the things that they've done well in the past. Don't just put it all in your quarterback's hands. Run the football, have some balance. They like to throw the ball on first down. So let's not get crazy and overthrow it out here because you're getting nervous.
That's a good point. Can I ask you one quick question? Did you get that a lot? I mean, you're both named Rob. You both have these like multi-syllabic last names. Did people make that mistake a lot just to make me feel better?
Hey, if I had Rob Gronkowski's bank account, I'd be completely fine with having Gronkowski as my last name. It's
okay,
cool.
Bart Scott, let me come to you. Browns, Chiefs, who were the most important players on the field in that game? Go.
I'm glad that you said that, Greeny, players, because I think it's Kareem Hunt and I think it's Nick Chubb. It's their ability to make sure that they can keep these guys on schedule. These are the best guys on the field, and the best defense is keeping, you know, Mahomes on the bench. And if they can ground and pound, set up short down and distances, then they can take one of those risks on a second down, second and short, where you still have the option. You can't become predictable. You got to keep that. You listen, one of the worst defenses left in the NFL in the playoffs, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. You have to put that on display, full display for the country to see, and tell Mahomes, I'll see you later.
Has a chance to be an outstanding weekend. Guys, stay close. We are just getting this hour started. So much more. Football Friday is coming up, including lots of coaches have done it. Few have succeeded. Can Urban Meyer find the same success in the NFL that he did in college? And how quickly? We'll answer those questions. And we've got basketball coming as well. What does Kyrie think about the Nets' deal to bring in James Harden? We will ask Jalen Rose all the questions that matter when he joins us in this hour. And today's poll question on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. Which of the underdogs do you like to win this weekend? Rams, Ravens, Browns, Buccaneers. Cast your vote. It will be heard. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and I've got some numbers I think you're going to find interesting. If you don't think the Browns' offense can keep up with Kansas City, then you should know the Browns have put up 40 points in a game 4 times this year, including last weekend's playoff game. The Chiefs have done it just once. The Browns have also scored at least 3 touchdowns in a quarter 5 times this season. The Chiefs have done that once. And Baker Mayfield has thrown 4 touchdown passes in a half twice this season. Patrick Mahomes has not done it a single time. So the explosive offense in this game, some of those numbers suggest it could be Cleveland. Of course, however, the key to beating Mahomes and the Chiefs historically has been to control the ground game. Mahomes has lost only 9 games in his NFL career, including playoffs. And in those, the opponents have rushed 35 rushes for 166 yards. So we see some of the numbers here. And RC, let me come to you on that. Do you believe, looking at all of that, that the Browns have the formula to get this done and knock out Mahomes in his own building?
You know what? When you come on, Greeny, and I say they have the formula, then people are going to be like, ooh, Ryan Clark said the Cleveland Browns are going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not saying that, but they do have the formula. Around the midpoint of this season, when we started to watch Cleveland, it looked like they kind of had that Tennessee Titans 2019 feel, that type of flow, a dominant run game, a quarterback who's making plays in the pass game when he needs to. And that's exactly what the Cleveland Browns have this year. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, those are two top-tier running backs in the same backfield. And understand, Alex Van Pelt and Kevin Stefanski, they know that's where their offense needs to start, with that type of physicality. But it's been the ascension of Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield making the big plays when he needs to. Baker Mayfield selling out and getting a third down, diving through two safeties from the Pittsburgh Steelers. That made me extremely sad, Greeny. This team definitely has what it takes offensively. They can keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, and I believe that Baker Mayfield can make enough plays with his arm. But when it's time to stop the Kansas City Chiefs, can this secondary, hopefully getting some pieces back, stop Patrick Mahomes from winning this game? That's what it'll come down to. Offensively, you have what it takes. Defensively, can you stand up?
Bart, one week ago, this hour, you were the only person on the show to pick the Browns to beat the Steelers last week. How much confidence do you have in them to do it again? What's that?
Stop bringing up old stuff. That's last week.
So you had it right last week. But do you have that same confidence in these Browns this weekend?
I mean, I do. I think that Mahomes is veteran enough to be able to win it. But I think this is going to be a close game. And listen, whenever you want to jump on a team, you have to jump on them early, right? So, listen, sometimes some of the worst games that I've ever had as a team is when we had to bye, because you come out naturally flat where the opposing team has been in playoff mode for the last 3 weeks. If Cleveland gets off to a fast start, they're going to believe that they can win. Because, listen, this Chiefs defense is average at best. And when they get in trouble, when they feel like they can't stop anybody, what they do is they activate Tyrann Mathieu and they put him in a box. That is the time when Baker Mayfield says, hey, this is time for me to take my shot. You know, we talked about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the reason that their personnel is so difficult, because they have the ability to put two tight ends on the field. Well, guess what? So do the Cleveland Browns have the ability to put two tight ends on the field at the same time, which limits your ability, one, to get to the passer, but two, it forces you to have to match up. Hooper, Njoku is going to be the key to this game, because he complained early in the season, but he's become one of the best blocking tight ends in the game because he settled down and put his big boy pants on and said, guess what? They brought in a great player, and if we ball out, I'll go get paid somewhere else. But for right now, let's try and add some notches to my belt in playoff wins and success as a team.
All right, so Kimberly, you have been covering this Browns team now 3 weeks in a row. What are the players saying about this matchup?
That they don't care what anybody thinks, whether it's Juju, Chase Claypool, Sammy Watkins. You know, this team believes that they deserve to be here, not just, oh, they're lucky to be here. And I think that's a really good thing. Kevin Stefanski has this team believing in themselves, but focusing on themselves. It's not about what Kansas City does. And talking to defensive players in particular, the plan is not, they understand Patrick Mahomes is going to do what he does. You can't stop everything. They got too many weapons. You can't stop Kelce and Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. You got to just do what works for you. You got to pick your spots, pick your poison on defense. And this secondary, understand it's a big challenge, but they're confident. They're feeling good.
An interesting thought. And when you mentioned the ones doing the talking, it's Juju, it's Claypool, it's Watkins. It's always the wide receivers who have something to
always
say.
Always the Steelers.
We will take a break.
Oh,
coming
stop
up,
it.
Could it be one and done for Aaron and the Packers? Our group is divided. We will make our picks. And we've got this. Come on, RC. Sneaky Hembo is coming for you. Who was the only player to intercept Aaron Rodgers multiple times in the playoffs? That is the question. The answer is next. Get up on ESPN. My heart on my hip and I go for the gold. Ay, we ref for the town when we out on the road. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance.
Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here we go, Ryan Clark. Sneaky Himbo is coming for you. Who was the only player to intercept Aaron Rodgers multiple times in the playoffs?
First off, this is dumb. Like the moonwalk is dumb, because I can't do it. I'm just going to guess. Earl Thomas. I don't know. This is a
well,
stupid question.
You were thinking the right way. It was a member of the Legion of Boom. It was Richard Sherman.
He never threw it at him.
It was Richard Sherman. But I should point out that he did it once in 2014, and then he did it last year. He intercepted Rodgers as a member of the 49ers last season in the NFC Championship game. All right, coming up.
I talked myself out of it.
Do the new look Nets have what it takes to make it to the finals? I will ask Jalen Rose that question next. Get up on ESPN.
Come on, get up. Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and lots of basketball to get into on this Football Friday. James Harden expected to meet with reporters today, the day after his trade to Brooklyn becomes official, where he will team up with Kevin Durant and maybe Kyrie Irving. Nets general manager Sean Marks yesterday was asked about how Irving's absence impacted the decision to make the trade. Here's what he said.
They're completely separate from one another. You know, Kyrie's absence and, you know, the personal issues that he's dealing with has nothing to do with us, you know, going after and attaining James Harden in this. Regarding Kyrie, when he'll be hopefully back and rejoining the team, you know, part of that is going to be up to the NBA, and we're waiting for them to come out with, so they're ruling on the health and safety protocols. You know, I have talked to Kyrie, so I know he's excited about getting back on the court with his teammates, you know, as soon as possible.
Boy, is there a lot to unpack in the things that he just said, and the perfect man to do it, the one and only Jalen Rose, is here to give the people what they want. All right, let's go through those in order. The first thing he said was that the Kyrie Irving absence had no impact on their decision to trade for James Harden. Do you buy that?
I buy it, Greeny, because this was something that's been brewing, in particular this offseason when those three were in Los Angeles playing pickup games together. And here's the deal. They did a terrific job of formulating a big three in Brooklyn with the Nets. And there, when you're trying to make that omelet, it's going to be some broken eggs. And unfortunately for the Rockets and their fans, it was them. Because Kyrie and KD were already with the squad. So James was the one that had to go to his team and say that he wanted out. A guy that's been an MVP, won multiple scoring titles. They'll likely retire his number one day. So he had to make it unceremonious for his situation so that he can now make it happen. But now that it's happened, this is gonna be outstanding for the NBA because we have a built-in villain, as the people like to call it. KD left the Splash Brothers and they're beloved. Kyrie left LeBron and he's the king. And I just said what happened with James Harden. Now you have LeBron, the king on the West, sitting on the throne, And now you have the Nets and KD, a two-time finals MVP on the East Coast. We needed this for Eastern Standard Time.
I'm with you on that part of it, but obviously one of the big three is not there. Another thing Sean Marks just said is, I've talked to Kyrie and he's excited to be back on the floor with his teammates. Well, what exactly should we make of that, considering, at least in one big way, he's the reason he's not on the floor with his teammates?
So, of course, we always got to take, you know, mental health and or any anxiety or depression into account when we're talking about any human being. But beyond that, he has a personal and a professional responsibility to his team and to his teammates to show up for work, Greeny. And when he doesn't show up for work, don't donate $400,000 back to the team. If you really want to make some moves in the community with that money, take that game check and actually do that. And he's been a terrific ambassador in so many facets of giving back to his community, Greeny. And it's not talked about enough. But I understand not to confuse Kyrie walking around the floor burning sage on the right wing, because I still have images of him at Golden State hitting a big shot over Steph Curry winning a championship on the right wing. I know that Kevin Durant is coming back from an Achilles injury, but when he won his two championships, that was against LeBron James. James Harden, along with the Greek Freak and Dame Lillard, are probably the three best players that haven't won championships in today's game. So now if you KD, you come to the West. You saw LeBron win a championship in the East. I mean, if you KD, you go to the East because you saw LeBron do it. You saw Kawhi do it. And now KD's in the East. And when the Splash Brothers get back and LeBron has AD, this is going to be fantastic theater for the NBA.
Yes,
Kyrie will find a way to return to the team. Trust me, when his protocol ends, Greeny, he want to be a part of this show because that's what it's going to be.
Let's make it clear, because now he may have violated the NBA's COVID protocol, and we'll see what the league decides to do. When you just touched on it, he gets paid a little over $408,000 per game. So the five games that he's missed, in theory, would be $2 million worth of salary. Now, we don't believe he's being docked that in any meaningful way, but how about that part of it? How about the league's place in this and the COVID piece of this?
That's enough viscous for the projects, boy. $2 million, I tell you, man. But here's the thing, Greeny. During the season, there are going to be ebbs and flows with players. But ultimately, this is what's going to happen. He's going to pay his fine. He's going to clear COVID protocols. James Harden is going to have a press conference today. He's going to play basketball with the Nets possibly Saturday if everybody clear their physicals. At some point next week, probably, Kyrie Irving is going to return to this team. And they're going to have a spectacular big three, unlike the one, probably the last time we've seen this was when LeBron joined up with Wade and Chris Bosh. Two of these guys have already won championships. Harden has already won an MVP. This is going to be great theater. And I'm going to just tell you this. I'm still not picking them to win it all this year. I'm picking the Milwaukee Bucks to still come out of the East. So while I'm giving them all of this praise, this ain't going to be the year for them to win the East. The back-to-back reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, just got Drew Holiday, along with Middleton. People still sleeping on Chris Middleton? Did y'all see him ball in the playoffs last year when the Greek Freak wasn't available? That continuity is going to mean something in an abbreviated season. The Bucks will eliminate the Nets if they play them in the playoffs.
You and I had a suit bet on something that happened last year. You won it from me. This is another bet I want to make. We'll talk about that offline. Have an outstanding weekend. The great Jalen Rose.
I love you, my brother. Thank you.
And we will see you later. The absolute best. All right, back to the football, I should say, where we got three big coaching moves in the last 24 hours. One of them this morning, Diana Russini reporting the Falcons have offered their head coaching position to Arthur Smith, who's been the Titans' offensive coordinator the last 2 years. Last night, the Jets hired 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh to be their head coach. According to Schefter, that's a five-year deal. And then, lastly, Urban Meyer coming back to the sidelines, this time as the head coach of the Jaguars. He's one of the most successful college coaches in the history of the sport. He released a statement that reads, in part, I've analyzed this decision from every angle. The time is right in Jacksonville. The time is right for me to return to coaching. I'm excited about the future of this organization and our long-term prospect. for success. So let's talk about it here. Our NFL reporter, Kimberly Martin, with us all morning long. Kimberly, what can you tell us about this hiring, Urban in Jacksonville?
Well, Urban didn't say much about the reasons for choosing Jacksonville in that statement. We're going to hear from Urban in probably the next couple hours, by 11:30. So all the answers to a lot of questions, the biggest being, why now? Why this job? Why Jacksonville? And I find it really interesting that somebody like Urban Meyer, who has jumped around and waited for different opportunities, the right opportunities, figures that this Jacksonville team, this time in history, in all their years of being bad, this is the time to come out the booth. Big reason, that number one pick and Trevor Lawrence. This is, I think that shows you enough how important that number one pick is and what they feel about Trevor Lawrence. So we're gonna get some answers. This guy has had health scares, has moved around, has retired several times due to health scares and other situations. So I think a lot of people want to know, how long is he really going to be in Jacksonville?
He is 56 years old as we speak. He'll be 57 by the time the next football season starts, Kimberly. And he joins now this list of notable college head coaches to make the jump to the pros. These are just some of the more recent ones. And generally speaking, and you see the numbers there, bear it out, there has not been a lot of success. Jim Harbaugh did very well in San Francisco. You see some of the other big names like Nick Saban and Steve Spurrier who did not. Bobby Petrino was a disaster in Atlanta. So let's dig into all of this with someone who knows Urban Meyer very well. Oh, it has been a long time since we have seen Bobby Carpenter, Ohio State legend, host the talk show there in Columbus to this day. So you know the ins and outs of this as well as anybody. So let's start with that, Bobby. What are your initial thoughts on Urban Meyer making the jump to the NFL?
Well, at first, you know, when I first met him a long time ago, I didn't know if he would be a guy that would translate from college to the NFL. But over, you know, his evolution as a coach at Ohio State, I saw a guy that changed. I saw a guy that was able to, you know, relate a lot more to his players. He began to kind of unwind his last couple seasons once Ryan Day got there and delegate a lot more, which I think is very important for him since he was such a micromanager and loves to be have his hand on every single thing within, you know, the organization. So, you know, right now, the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's in Florida. I think he wants to kind of mend some fences with maybe some of Gator Nation. They have the number one pick to get Trevor Lawrence. If you looked at that list, Greeny, the coaches that had success, Jim Harbaugh, he had good quarterbacks, a couple of them there. He was out in San Francisco. Look at Cliff Kingsbury. He has a number one pick in Kyler Murray and how good he can be. Urban Meyer can have that. And one of the most important pieces is this, and RC can talk about, any NFL guy will tell you, your organization being willing to spend money, not just on players and contracts, but on having great facilities, having great assistance, having great medical care, great food. Like when you're in college, you have the best of everything. And you know what you do? You say, charge it to winning, and they give it to you. He has that with Shad Khan.
So what is your expectation, RC? He walks into a team that, for all the upside, was 1-15 this year and finished the season losing their last 15 games. How quickly can he turn it around?
Well, I expect them to win more than one game, so I guess that's some progress. But I think this team is going to take some time. When you start with a young quarterback, like we are expecting the Jacksonville Jaguars to do, you have to build with him. You have to build around him. He has to understand the NFL game and learn how to win on that level. But I believe a guy like Urban Meyer, if he can put his imprint on this team, if this team can take over his personality, which no matter where he's been, whether it's Utah, Florida, obviously, Ohio State, it's been about winning, right? It's been about this team being competitive, about teams being physical. I believe that the Jacksonville Jaguars can take on that persona in year one. And as they come along, as they grow as a team, as he continues to build players and skill sets, this team can compete down the road. But I think next year, having Indianapolis, having the Tennessee Titans, and also having a Deshaun Watson-led Houston Texans team, if he's still there, it'll still be a little bit hard to overcome and have a winning team in year one.
Yeah, Bobby, let me finish it with this, because, again, you know him and you've been around him, and he's had health issues in the past. Even his last year at Ohio State, there were times on the sideline, legendarily, that he did not look like a healthy person. Mm-hmm. He's 56, he'll be 57. How about the longevity of this situation? Do you think that he is someone who will be there a long time?
Well, a long time is relative in the NFL, Greeny. If you make it more than 5 years, you're going to be one of the longest tenured head coaches in the NFL. And so as I see him this year, he looked like he was in pretty good health. He was around the team a lot. He was around, you know, Columbus a lot. He looks a lot more relaxed. I think he understands the NFL game and delegating, so he can take some of that stress off of his mind. But long term, you know, I think if he's there more than 5 years, that's a huge win. If you look around and you make it to his second contract as a head coach, you've been wildly successful. So if he's able to get that done, I think it'll be fine. And I think he'll have the gas to at least make it 5 years.
That's right. 5 years in college is not a long time. 5 years in the National Football League is an eternity. Bobby, great to see you. Thank you, as always. We take a short break. We have much more football to talk about here. It is truly a battle for the ages. Will Tom Brady finally get revenge on Drew Brees and the Saints? We're picking the games next. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tomorrow night, UFC Fight Night is back on Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. And for the first time ever, it's on ABC. Special 3 o'clock Eastern start for the main card with former champ and number one flyweight contender Max Holloway taking on the number 6 contender Calvin Kattar in the explosive main event. The stacked card for the prelims starts at noon Eastern on ESPN+. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios here at the Seaport. Mike Greenberg, this is Get Up on ESPN with you commercial-free for the next 12 minutes. And that's when First Take will come up next. And they'll be talking about Tom Brady. Can he pull off the upset in New Orleans? Max, Stephen A., and Molly will debate that. And a whole lot more there coming up next. But again, we're with you commercial-free until then. And we come back with this. Late last night, the New York Jets announced they've reached an agreement with 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh to be their next head coach. That's the cover of the New York Post this morning. Mr. Green, play, of course, on Mr. Clean, in case that isn't clear. And I will say this, Kimberly Martin, you covered the Jets. Bart Scott, you're still very close to the team. The one thing I'll say is they clearly now have the coolest looking head coach in the National Football League, but that's obviously not what's important here. Kimberly, what are you hearing about why the Jets chose this coach?
I've been covering this team so long, I covered Bart. So basically, this team loves Robert Saleh's leadership, number one. And they love the fact that he came into both meetings laying out a clear plan for his new vision for the direction of this franchise. Now, that new vision may include Sam Darnold, it may not, and time will tell. But the fact that he was able to articulate what he wanted and where he sees his franchise going is key. And he also had a good rapport with Joe Douglas, the GM, and team president, Jaime El Hai. Now, this is great. Jets fans should feel very good. However, I will caution and say, let's wait and see, because as we know, being a head coach is so much different. It's so much bigger. You're a CEO of a company, and him being one of the most sought after guys, that is great, but so is Todd Bowles. So there's a lot of things that play into the situation, and one guy cannot replace an entire culture of losing. It's going to take some time.
Yeah, so we'll see where it winds up going. They do have a bunch of draft picks. They have a bunch of free agent money, and they have the second pick in the draft. We'll see what they do. But the big question, Bart, will be the quarterback. And so as the musical chairs around the league with the QBs begins, what do you expect them to do?
Well, first of all, Green, when I saw it at first glance, I thought they had hired Xerxes from 300, but it's all good. So he has that type of presence. He has an air about himself, right? He has a presence. And that's what they were looking for. They're looking at somebody that can command a room, somebody that can inspire their teammates. From all indications, that's exactly what Saleh is. He's a guy that can inspire him. And I'm not just leaning towards him because he's from my hometown of Michigan. It's because he's been part of a process like this, Greeny. Remember, he was with San Francisco before when Kyle Shanahan got there, and they had to rebuild that roster and win with a young team. That's what the Jets are. And now you think about also, Sam Darnold's a better quarterback than Jimmy G. And I make no bones about that. And the fact that he's able to bring a guy like Mike LaFleur, who brother was trying to get him in Green Bay for a couple of years, means that he has a blessing from Kyle Shanahan. He wanted to give him a parting gift so he can make sure that he's successful as well. Because you think about running the ball downhill, you think about playing great defense, that's where he's coming from, and he's going to be able to try and replicate that here in New York.
Yeah, Rob LaFleur, the offensive coordinator now, the brother of Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Okay, we'll have more on the coaching stuff as we go. Meanwhile, let's get back to the playoff games this weekend. Ryan Clark, divisional difference makers. Who's the difference maker, Ravens, Bills?
It's the Ravens secondary. It's Marlon Humphrey. It's Marcus Peters, Deshaun Elliott. These guys who have been great on the back end, they have an important challenge this week. Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, and Josh Allen, who we all think is a top three MVP candidate, they have absolutely been shredding teams through the air. And if the Baltimore Ravens plan to play into the next round, it's going to be because this secondary comes up with big plays, they tackle well, and they force Josh Allen to do something different. And Nick Chubb is the guy that has to be the bell cow for the Cleveland Browns. He has to carry this team. 35 carries, Greenies. That's the number they have to get to. That's the average of the teams that get to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and they have the dude to do it. Nick Chubb physically dominated the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. Kareem Hunt as well. If this run game is good, they have an opportunity to win, and I think that that's a possibility. It has to start and finish with him. And also, if you go to the next game, it's going to be about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown has now made that step up. Antonio Brown has now started to show that number one wide receiver form. Early in his tenure in Tampa Bay, he didn't really have a spot. He didn't really have a role. Now you see, with attention being paid to Mike Evans, attention being paid to Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown has come up with 5 touchdowns in the last few weeks. And if you're talking about great receivers, you have to go Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers. You know why? When the Green Bay Packers ball, Devontae Adams goes crazy. But he's going to have Jalen Ramsey on the other side. But he's the catalyst to it all. If Devontae Adams can get loose, if Devontae Adams can make the Rams switch up defensive strategies on the back end, now Aaron Jones opens up. Now MVS opens up. Robert Tonyan. It gives Aaron Rodgers an opportunity to get to other guys. But if Jalen Ramsey can erase Devontae Adams, I believe that the Green Bay Packers will have a very difficult time moving the football and could possibly lose this game to the Los Angeles Rams.
Yes, that to me is the most interesting matchup of the entire weekend, is Jalen Ramsey on Devontae Adams. And Bart Scott, you were making a very interesting point about what this game will decide for Green Bay.
Well, absolutely, because that's why we call it Judgment Day, right? This is Judgment Day, not for Aaron Rodgers, but for this organization that decided to draft Jordan Love and believing that Aaron Rodgers was done. Does he look done? You know, it's like Birdman, right? Are we finished or are we done? Right? Because Aaron Rodgers is neither. And he's trying to show these guys that all I need was a little help. So if Jalen Ramsey can erase Adams, then it comes back to Alan Lazard, because that's who you put your faith in. So it's gone. This weekend is always about the other. What can the others do to help Aaron Rodgers? Because if Devontae Adams is taken away and it's nothing but Alan Lazard he's taken away, then that's going to allow Floyd to eat, that's going to allow Aaron Donald to eat, and it's going to be another one of those moments where we see Aaron Rodgers walk away in a disappointing fashion. Don't think that they're invincible in Green Bay. He's lost there twice during Aaron Rodgers' era. This could be a third.
It is a fascinating matchup, and I like the way you said it. Judgment Day. Did they get it wrong on draft day? Maybe we get the answer by the time we go to sleep tomorrow night. Okay, let's take a look at the games this weekend. All four home teams are favored by Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill. The biggest spread, Kansas City, favored by 10 over Cleveland. Green Bay, almost a touchdown over L.A. The remaining two are close toss-ups. So I know what you're wondering. You're wondering, Greeny, who do you have this weekend? Well, I'm glad you asked. My picks are brought to you by DraftKings, and they're coming in 3, 2, 1. Rams, Packers, Aaron versus Aaron. That's on the marquee, but the matchup of Jalen Ramsey on Devontae Adams is the real main event. This was a bad draw for that bad man. Packers win, but not easy, 23-20. Ravens, Bills, young, dynamic, super talented quarterbacks. Let's call that a push. The rest of the roster, I'm leaning Ravens. This team has found its footing. They run it down your throat. They're moving on. 31-27, Baltimore. Browns, Chiefs. What Cleveland accomplished last week is the stuff of legend. Their season is a resounding success. But it ends here. Mr. Mahomes doesn't lose this game. I take KC 37-26. Finally, the matchup for the ages and the aged. 85 years worth of quarterbacks on the field in New Orleans. The Saints have owned this matchup, but that was then, this is now. Tampa Tom has figured it out, and he has more weapons than Big Easy Breezy. Give me the upset. 34-33, Buccaneers. That's what I think. Let's see what this squad thinks as well. We're going to go through these games here. We'll get in as much as we can. Ravens, Bills, RC, I'm starting with you. Who do you like?
I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Baltimore Ravens are on a mission. I believe Lamar Jackson has gotten off of the snide, and this team now has confidence. Lamar will play well. This run game will play well. And the secondary of the Baltimore Ravens will force some turnovers and allow this team to win. I'm taking the underdog. The Baltimore Ravens move on to the AFC Championship. And
look at how close the analytics have it, 51-49. Bart Scott, who you got?
Come on, Granny, stop. They'll change the key code, my key code, to the building if I pick the Buffalo Bills. And RC, you knew exactly what I was doing last week. I was lighting a fire under Lamar Jackson's butt because I know everybody that's in the NFL love this show. So I knew exactly what I was doing. Don't ever, ever question my loyalty to the Baltimore Ravens.
And I'll no, don't try to switch up now. You see who got the purple on. Don't switch up.
Rob Ninkovich, who you got?
You Manchurian candidate.
Look, we all know that I love the Ravens. I love Lamar. But look, this is the soft side of me. Look, the Buffalo Bills, the Bills Mafia, they haven't had a winning team in a long time. I'm going to go with Buffalo on this one. They play in the best division in football, so, you know, why not go with Buffalo?
You're picking the Bills because of their fans. It's an interesting strategy. Let's see how it turns out. All right, we got to get through these. Browns, Chiefs, RC, who you got?
Chiefs.
Okay, that's a pretty simple one. And I didn't mean quite that quickly, but it's the first time you've listened to me in 2.5 years on the show. Bart, who you got?
I mean, listen, I think the Cinderella story stops here. I'm definitely going with the Chiefs. They have the experience. They have the coaching staff. And I think they're well-rested. Chiefs.
Rob?
Short and to the point, just like RC. Chiefs.
Okay, so no one thinks Mr. Mahomes gets knocked out here. Rams-Packers is a great one at Lambeau Field. I'm interested to see what the analytics say. And RC, what do you say?
I say the Rams. I say this run game of the Rams, this defense wins. And the former California Bear quarterback that will walk off victorious will be Jared Goff and not Aaron Rodgers.
Wow, that's interesting to me. Bart, how about you?
Well, I'm going Rams as well, man, because I love the fact that Whitworth is back. And listen, when you can't stop the run, you can't do anything. All those great exotic blitzes, I think Whitworth against Za'Darius Smith, I think he wins that matchup. I think that's the smoke that he don't want. And that's how you slow down a great pass rusher, is by running the ball directly at him. Just ask Nico.
Wow. Rob Ninkovich, what do you think?
Andrew Whitworth is like 50 years old, so I don't think he's really going to matter. But anyway, I'm going with Green Bay.
He's still a Tiger, baby. He's still a Tiger.
I'm going with Green Bay. You can't go against Aaron Rodgers. He's playing some of his best football, and it's at the right time. So, Green Bay.
All right, and finally, how about the two legendary quarterbacks, Buccaneers and Saints? Ryan Clark, who you got?
Listen, I'm going to take the Saints. They have a quarterback that's more youthful. He's a lot younger. He's a guy who, I'm just playing. I'm just going to take the Saints. I think the Saints are the more dominant team. They're a better defensive team. Defense wins championships. And in this matchup, I think they'll get pressure on Tom Brady, force him into turnovers, and they'll do enough offensively in New Orleans to edge this game out.
He is more youthful. He's 42 years old today. Brady is 43. Bart, who you got?
Well, Tampa definitely has the more talented team top to bottom, but they haven't been together, and they have an identity crisis. They haven't quite figured that out. So I think for those reasons, I got to take the Saints. They've been together. There's been a window for 3 years, and it's closing as Drew Brees probably going to retire after this season.
How about you, Dinko?
You know who I'm going with, baby. Come on now, TB. Tom Brady. I think he's going to – it's really hard to beat him.
Why did you ask him?
In the same season.
When's the last time they won? So now you want to get unsentimental against Tampa.
You know who I'm going with. Come on now.
So it creates a lot of argument. Meanwhile, we put the poll question up on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. Which upset do you like? And, as you see, the Buccaneers lead the way, but it's close. People like the Ravens. I hope everyone enjoys the football this weekend. It should be terrific. Thank all of you for getting up with us. Thank you. First Take starts now.